This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا اللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance And to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead. And He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. The scholars sometimes offer a parable. They describe the heart, the qalb, as being a king over the body. And the limbs are the soldiers belonging to this king. The soldiers are the eyes and the ears and the hands and its legs. But the one who sends commands, instructions, is the heart, the king of the body. And so if one wanted to ask themselves, are they good or not? Too often there are people who will do evil things with their limbs, with their body, with their mind. And they say to them, yeah, I did something evil, but I'm still a good person. But if the limbs are acting with evil, it's an indication that the heart itself has become corrupted. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. He said, there is an organ in the body, if it were to be righteous, the entire body would be righteous. And if it were to be corrupted, the entire body, person would be corrupted. And then the Prophet ﷺ said three times, indeed it is the heart, indeed it is the heart, indeed it is the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is not the eyesight, the eyes that become blinded, but rather it is the hearts in the chest of men that become blinded. And it's important for us to reflect on the status of our hearts. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. The Prophet said, Allah does not look to the shape of your body. He does not look in the state of your actions and deeds. And we have to beware of being a people who we get nice haircuts, we dress well, we present ourselves to others beautifully. And so what people see, our bodies, the shape of our bodies, the way we look, what people see is beautiful. But what Allah sees, because Allah does not look to your bodies and your haircut and your clothing and your brand name clothes that you have and the car that you drive. Allah looks to your heart. We have to beware of being people whom, when other people look at us, they see something beautiful. But when Allah looks at us, He sees something repulsive. And so today, as we speak about the condition of our hearts, we have to listen and think about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why our hearts sometimes become corrupted is because our relationship with Allah becomes corrupted. And the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often begins to fade when we see our relationship like a transaction. We think, Allah ordered me to pray, so I'm just going to pray to get it over with. Or we think even beyond that, I prayed, so now Allah has to give me something. We think of our relationship with Allah as a transaction. We give Him something, He gives us something back. That's not the attitude of the believer in the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not fulfill the obligations that Allah placed upon him. And the obligations on him were more than the obligations on us. He did not fulfill these obligations just because it's a transaction between him and Allah. But he fulfills the obligations out of his deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalin yuballighuni hubbak. Allahumma ja'al hubbak ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa min al-ma' al-barid. This hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dua that he used to make. You say, O Allah, I ask for your love and the love of those whom you love and the love of anything that will bring me to your love. And then he would say, O Allah, make my love for you greater than my love for myself. And make my love for you greater than my love for my family. And make my love for you greater than my love for cold water. And the Arabs would use this parable of the cold water because obviously they lived in the desert. And imagine someone stranded in the desert, not being able to have water. And think of the person's mouth becoming crusted and the type of dehydration and fear and deep desire a person would have in that state for cold water. And the Prophet ﷺ is asking Allah to make his love for Allah greater than the love of anyone for cold water. And so we have to develop our love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And often when we talk about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that we approach this topic is that we say to people, look at the Sahaba and what they used to do. Look at what they used to do for, out of their love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the problem with that approach, even though it's an important approach, is that sometimes the youth amongst us, and even the elders, when we think about the stories of the companions of the Prophet, we think about Suhaib al-Rumi giving away everything he owned for Allah. They are interpreted by people as being fairy tales. These are stories of another era, they don't matter to us. But the reality is that we don't understand the story because we didn't understand their mindset. And if we understood their mindset of why they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so dearly, then those stories would have so much more meaning for us. Because those people understand and understood what is the relevance of wealth compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And what is pain in this world compared to the delights and the serenity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla can provide. And what is the vastness of this life compared to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we understood that mindset of theirs, it would transform us from being people who are fulfilling our duties out of obligation or out of custom to fulfilling our ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our worship of Allah azza wa jal, because we have a deep-seated love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, that Allah will bring forth a people whom He loves them and they love Him. And notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala precedes يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. He loves them and they love Him. Because it's impossible for us to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we understand that He loves us. So Allah began by He loves them, and they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you understand the love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His servants, this is what opens the door for you having love of Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith Qudsi, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٌ. When Allah loves a servant, He calls out to Jibreel. And He says, Ya Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulan. And He says, oh Jibreel, I love this person. And so Jibreel loves this person too. Why does Allah call out to Jibreel? If Allah loves a person, why does He tell Jibreel, I love this person? And the scholars, they say, subhanAllah, when a person is in love, they don't want to keep that love to themselves. If a person loves someone, they want to tell the world that they love this person. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Jibreel that He loves this person. And then Jibreel loves this person. And then Jibreel calls out to the angels in the heavens and says, Allah loves this person, so love him. And they love him too. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and then the acceptance of this person comes on the earth. That the people on earth who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develop naturally a natural love for this person. All of a sudden their hearts open to this person. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, the angels love this person, and it descends upon them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah azza wa jal says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهَا. He said, if I love him, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, he becomes the seeing with which he sees, the hearing with which he hears, the walking with which he walks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects this person, is with them in every moment of their life, protects them from evil. He's with them in every step of their life. They're in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout their life, so much so it's described that He is their seeing by which they see and the hearing by which they hear. When we hear these ahadith, sometimes we think to ourselves, the amount of people that Allah loves is so small, we can't be one of them. Yes, Allah, when He loves people, they get this connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are so far away from that, and we're not included in that. But read the Qur'an. What does Allah say throughout the Qur'an? How often does Allah talk about His love for different categories of people throughout the Qur'an? وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah loves those who do good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ Allah loves those who rely upon Him. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ Allah loves those who are patient. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ Allah loves those who are just. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah loves those who are conscious of Him and aware of Him. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ He loves those who repent to Him and turn back to Him. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ Allah loves those who purify themselves. The doors of Allah's love are wide open. Look at the hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتَهُ بِالْحَرْبِ Whoever shows enmity to my friend, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, I have declared war on this person. I have declared war on this person. What does that mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war upon this person. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a jealous love for this person. He loves them so much that when other people are enemies to that person, Allah becomes so offended by it, He declares war against them. Now, but you're thinking to yourself, the awliya of Allah, that's something beyond us. We can't possibly be from the awliya of Allah. Well, you know, some people mysticize the concept of being a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as just being something so esoteric that nobody can arrive at this point. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about His awliya, about the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ He says, indeed, the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, there is no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ They believe, and they had taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars, sometimes when they describe taqwa, they say taqwa is not that the person's perfect. It's just that the person's good outweighs their evil. That they strive to make their good a little bit better than the evil they produce. SubhanAllah, it's not that difficult for us to be included in this category. We shouldn't place it beyond us. And the Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith Qudsi that Allah says, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتَهُ عَلَيْهِ Like we talk about how can we be the friend of Allah, then here's the description, here's the strategy to become the friend of Allah. He says, nothing draws you closer more than fulfilling your obligations. The obligations that Allah has given us, fulfilling those is what gives you the greatest amount of ability to get closer to Allah. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبُّ And my servant doesn't stop drawing closer to me with voluntary acts, voluntary goodness, until he enters this category that I love him. And when I love him, I become the hearing with which he hears, the seeing with which he sees, the hand with which he strikes, and the feet with which he walks. وَإِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأَعْطِيَنَّ وَإِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ And if he asks of me anything, I will surely give him. And if he seeks my protection, I will surely protect him. We have to think and reflect over these ahadith about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us this dearly. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servants. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith Qudsi, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إنك ما دعوتني ورجوتني غفرت لك ما كان عليك ولا أبالي. Allah says, O son of Adam, as long as you ask of me and hope in me, I will forgive all of your sins and I do not care. يا ابن آدم لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. He says, O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky, and then you ask of my forgiveness, I will forgive you and I do not care. Allah says, La ubali, I don't care. I'll forgive all of these sins. Ya ibn Adam, لو أنك أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. He says, O son of Adam, were you to come to me, having filled the entire world with sins, but you come to me not having worshipped anything other than me, not having associated in the worship of me, then I will come to you with the same amount of forgiveness. Subhanallah. Rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my mercy supersedes my anger. This needs to open our hearts to understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. In another hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. Whoever comes close to me a hand span, I will come close to him in arm's length. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. And whoever comes closer to me in arm's length, I will come closer to him in a wingspan. And he says, وَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ إِلَيَّ يَمْشِي أَقْبَلْتُ إِلَيْهِ هَرْوَلًا. And if he comes to me walking, I will go to him running. Reflect just over that statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will come to you running. Have we ever thought, what could we possibly do to be worthy of Allah coming running to us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first heaven, sama' ad-dunya, the first heaven, within this first heaven is this world and this galaxy and everything we know is within the first heaven. The first heaven compared to the second heaven, the Prophet said, is like a ring that was thrown into the desert. How small is the ring? How vast is the desert? He said, in the second heaven compared to the third is again like a ring thrown into the desert. And the third to the fourth, and the fourth to the fifth, on and on until the seventh heaven. And he said, the seventh heaven compared to the throne of Allah is like a ring that was thrown into the desert. How small and insignificant are we? And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the strength and the greatness of His love, will come to us running if we go to Him walking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heavens during the last third of every night. Not in Ramadan. This is all throughout the year. The Prophet says Allah descends to the lowest heaven. And you think, subhanAllah, when someone wants something from you, are you going to go to him? If someone 30 minutes away from you wants something from you, are you going to drive 30 minutes for him? Or are you going to say, he wants something from me, he should come to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven in a way that befits His majesty. And then what does He say? هَلْ مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ هَلْ مِن تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness that I may forgive them? Is there anyone asking for repentance that I may accept the repentance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us if we want to be forgiven. هَلْ مِن سَائِلٍ فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Is there anyone asking of me anything that I may give him? And He descends to the lowest heaven to ask us if we want His forgiveness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَذَٰلِكَ كُلُّ لَيْلَةٍ. And this happens every night. Every night, even though He is the King subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the master, and we are the weak, and we are the small, He comes down and asks us, is anyone seeking of my forgiveness that I may forgive them? This should put in our hearts a modesty, a feeling of shame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us this much. How much do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jal says, إِنِّي لَأَجِدَنِي أَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِي يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ فَأَرُدُّهُمَا سِفْرًا. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels that I feel shame, I feel modesty, that my servant raises his hands and he calls me and he says, my Lord, my Lord, that I turn him away with nothing. And the angels say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, this person is not deserving of your forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنِّي أَهْلُ التَّقْوَى وَأَهْلُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. He says, but I am deserving of his taqwa. I'm deserving of his consciousness. And I am deserving of granting forgiveness. It's not amazing for us as servants to feel shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the one that is beneath, for the child to feel shame in front of the parent. For the servant to feel shame in front of the master. But it is entirely amazing that the master, that the king of kings, that the lord of the heavens and the earth feels shame and modesty in front of us. Understanding this needs to enter our hearts. So that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to pray 5 times a day, this is not a transaction. There is nothing you can do to repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you do when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the minimum. And we should feel that sense of modesty when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg from Him, from the deepest depth of our hearts, because we should have love for Him. Because of the amount of love that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. فأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, our days are limited in Ramadan, and our days in this world are limited, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring, and we don't know if the opportunity we have today is going to exist tomorrow. So as your brother, I'm just asking everyone, and myself first and foremost, to use whatever time and ability we have in this month to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're at home, spend some time in solitude with Allah azza wa jal. When was the last time you spoke to Allah azza wa jal? And I know in salah, in our prayers, of course we have to speak in Arabic and make dua in Arabic. But outside of your salah, you can speak to Allah in any language. When's the last time you turned to Allah and spoke to Him and complained to Him and begged of Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His shade to the person in solitude who sheds tears because of their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to revive this in our life and improve our connection in our hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيَّ أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار. وصل عليه ربنا ما تضوع مسك وفاح. صل عليه ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين. وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين. وعلى أمهات المؤمنين. وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله قبل الصلاة.